Today on Real Radio.
Get up from this place, live your life in the joy of the Lord, which is your strength, rejoice in Him, and watch Him live His witness out in your life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Why Should I? A collection of Bible lessons that explore what the Bible has to say about the lifestyle choices of the believer. Now, we are getting close to the end of this series, having many of these why should I questions answered from the perspective of God's Word. And over the next few editions of Real Radio, Pastor Jack addresses the question, why should I be a witness? It's a good question, isn't it? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
But positionally, God has declared us righteous in Jesus Christ. You know what? Later today, I want to go down to Balboa and get a Balboa bar. You ever had a Balboa bar? That vanilla, and then they dip it in the hot chocolate. When they pull it out of the hot chocolate, just before they plunge it into those fresh crushed peanuts, it went in white and comes out completely coated in chocolate. You and I, before we knew Jesus Christ, we were completely lost sinners. When we came to know Him, when we said, Lord, I believe You died on the cross for me. I believe that by trusting in You, You'll give me eternal life. You saved me. I receive You as my Lord and Savior. Plunge. You are immersed, according to the Word of God, in the blood of Christ. And you come back up, and all God sees is the blood of Jesus on your life. The only thing that's left is a stick, and He'll deal with that part when we go home to be with Him. Have you been dipped in the Lord? Have you come to know Jesus that way? Are you very religious? You're very moral. And that, you know, this message is fine, Pastor, for all those sinners. No, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. We all need to be dipped in His blood. Have you been dipped in His blood? That's a fun study just in and of itself. Jesus entered the Holy of Holies in heaven, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with what? His own blood that He offered on the mercy seat in heaven once and for all those who believe in Him. That's good news. He didn't do it in some synagogue. He didn't do it in some church. He didn't do it in some temple. He did it in heaven where it counts, where moth nor rust nor thief can break in and steal your salvation. That's a comfort. Man, I love that. No wonder why in Revelation 5 in heaven, the redeemed are singing, He has redeemed us from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation by the power of His blood. It's good news. Well, listen, not only a witness to my past, but now what Jesus has done in our lives is a witness to this current time, the present time in which you and I live in, this present moment. We are witnesses. If we like it or not, good or bad, we're witnesses. Hey, and you know what? Even if you're a lunatic, you have a witness. It's true. Even if you're a Satanist, you have a witness. You're communicating something. You're giving witness to something. And so the Lord asked of me, Jack, who are you giving witness to in your life? Are you giving witness of yourself? Are you giving witness of me? How am I living my life? 24/7, who am I? Peter talks about that in those of you who know Peter's life, you can really appreciate what he says. For those of you who don't, the Apostle Peter was a neat guy, I'm sure. Extremely extroverted, no doubt very passionate. We know from church history, very big. He's a big boy, fisherman. You never have to guess what's on Peter's mind. He says it, and it's written in the Bible. That's scary, isn't it? It's written down for the world to read. You know what Peter says? Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy," Peter knew something about mercy, "has begotten us again into a living hope." On that night of Jesus' betrayal, I bet you Peter thought he had no hope. "Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead," that's good news, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Do you have an inheritance in heaven reserved for you? Those who are Christians know it. Do you? God is going to open the gate and you're going to be brought into his presence, and there's going to be, according to Scripture, an inheritance that he's prepared reserved for you. It's based upon the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. And he will give you, according to Scripture, so much that the Bible calls those who are his joint heirs with Christ. That's amazing. Peter knew something about that. And about the present age and the present time in which you and I live in, and us being witnesses. We're a witness in every time and every place where we're at as a church. I love what Jesus says about this. In John chapter 17, 11, John 17, 11, Jesus says, and he's speaking to his Father. He's on earth still, soon to leave. This is what he says. He says, "Now I am no longer in the world." It's an interesting thing to say. His disciples were there. "I'm no longer in the world." That had to be weird. What's he saying? He's standing right here. "But these are in the world." Maybe he pointed to the disciples. "And I come to you, Holy Father." Here's his prayer. "Keep through your name those whom you have given to me, that they may be one as we are." Church, listen. Do you think God the Father answers God the Son's prayers? Every one of them. "Father, I'm coming home soon. I'm leaving. I'm as good as gone. But these are still here. Keep them. Keep them through the power of your name." You think God the Father is going to do that in our lives? He's going to do it. Because faithful is he who has called us. Keep them. "Keep them through your name, those whom you have given to me." Do you hear the security of that? I love the thought of it. This is how my Jesus talks to the Father, and it's very comforting to me. It gets better, in my opinion. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 27. John 10, 27 says this, down to verse 30. Oh, by the way, when I read this, follow along in your Bible, look at it. Do you think Jesus is uncertain, not clear about what he's about to say? Oh, he's certain. This is Jesus speaking. And he says, "My sheep hear my voice." Stop right there. Have you heard his voice? It's not an audible voice, but it's a tug on your heart. Some of you might even be sensing it today. It's a tug on your heart. Can't explain it. But you know that what's being said in this room right now from the Bible is somehow bearing witness to your own soul. You're agreeing with this, though you may not understand. Something's happening. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. They follow me." They follow me, he said. What does his sheep do? Church, follow him. He says he knows them. I like that. By the way, listen, I'm going to keep reading. Verse 28. All of this, though, is a package deal. It's a combo. And you can't switch it. You can't change it out. This is God's combo. Verse 28, "I give them eternal life." Note that the word in Greek, to give, is to give without bartering, without plea bargaining, without effort, without earning. It's a gift as pure as a gift can be. In other words, "Oh, let me give you this gift. Oh, okay, let me pay you a little bit for it." Have you ever heard somebody say that to you? "Oh, how much? Oh, let me give you a little bit of something for that." Then it's not a gift. What does Jesus say? These are the words of God. He says, "I give them eternal life." How long is that life, people? Eternal. Who gives it? Jesus. He's given it freely. And, connecting, "they shall never perish." they shall never see hell. Those who trust me will never see the grave. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They'll never see the grave. Church, we'll never see the grave. This week in our church, a man was shot to death in a carjacking on his way home. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When the cops told me what that vehicle looked like and all the stuff that had gone on inside there, that's all I had to hang on to. You know what? To be absent from the body is to be present in the Lord. I wanted to find out. I asked the officers how long did it take him to die? He died quickly. He died quickly. They kept telling me it was quick. It was very fast. Praise the Lord. Why did I want to know that? Because I wanted him to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. That's what the Bible says. He blinked one moment and he opened the next in heaven at an intersection. Jesus says, they shall never perish. Jim went from here to there in an instant. He never saw the grave. Neither will you if you're trusting in Jesus. That grave holds no power. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my Father's hands or out of my hands. So you got Jesus' hand. Jesus is speaking. Are you guys with me? You're so quiet. Are you okay? Jesus is here. This is his hand, okay? And he says, nobody can snatch you out of my hand. So keep that picture in your head right there. Verse 29. My Father, who has given them to me, he's greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So, okay, now you got the Father's hand. We got Jesus' hand and we have the Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That makes you and I a salvation sandwich. That's what. If you're in the Father's hands and nobody can snatch you out of the Father's hands, I mean, just think. Can you imagine somebody tried? Can you imagine if Satan tried that? A little angel, a fallen angel. That's what he is. It's like the Father. What are you doing here? Then nobody can snatch us out of Jesus' hand. The demons couldn't hold him down in the grave. We are in his hands. I'm going to suggest to you that if you're born again, you're born again indeed, absolutely, positively, and that we've been given new life. You may believe in Jesus Christ, but listen, have you come to faith in Jesus Christ? There's a big difference. There's going to be a lot of people going to hell who believe in him, but all those who trust in him, have faith in him, they'll go straight to heaven. Which is it for you? Have you heard his voice? Do you follow him? What witness do you have? Has your life been changed? Are you different? Or maybe this morning you've stumbled in here today and you want your life to be different. Then as we go through this study, you just say, yes, Lord, that's what I want. I want you. Finally, and we'll wrap it up with this, the third consideration under this point, why should I be a witness? Because that's who we are in Christ now, is this. I am a witness to my future. This is interesting. We are witnesses to our future. And let me explain this. That is, my current life that I'm living right now, and yours too, if I were to put myself in a room and it's all padded and or whatever it is, and there's speakers and a projector, and we take, say, the last 12 months of my life, and it's just me with this projector, and it shows me my life for the last 12 months, my present life. How does it affect my future? My current life is a strong indication about my future. I said, what do you mean? Paul put it to us like this in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Don't be misled. Remember that you can't ignore God and get away with it. A man will always reap just the kind of crop that he sows. If he sows to please his own strong or wrong desires, he will be planting seeds of evil and he will reap a harvest of spiritual decay and death. But if he plants the good things of the Spirit life, he will reap the everlasting life that the Holy Spirit gives him. And let us not get tired of doing what is right. For after a while, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we do not get discouraged and give up. That's the Living Bible. I thought it was cool the way it's put. Be not deceived. Don't be tricked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to harvest. That's what he's going to reap. Don't we all know that's true? It's springtime. And what's popping up? What's in bloom right now? Everything. This last winter or fall, you planted bulbs. Gladiolus, ranunculus, you know, whatever, lilies or tulips, whatever they were. Now they're up. You begin to wonder after a while, are those things ever going to come up? You remember? And remember how ugly they are? Have you ever seen some of these bulbs? They're scary looking. They look like alien things, man. And you think, how can something good looking come from this ugly looking thing? And if you don't know your stuff, you'll throw it away. Put it in the ground. Interesting thing happens. You put it in the ground, and the moment you put it in the ground, the chemicals, the material in the earth causes it to die. It dies instantly. As soon as it dies, it pops out. It sticks out a little shoot, microscopic. You can't even see it. In its death, a little shoot comes out and starts to grow. And it searches. It starts to anchor itself, and then it goes upward. How does it know that? Even bulbs, you can plant a bulb upside down, and it will do a U-turn and go up. And it'll break through, and that ugly thing that died is now coming through the earth, going up into the sky, and then it perches itself, and then it puts forth this tremendous bud, and then into a glorious bloom. From something dead, from something ugly. And it's a picture of our lives. God takes that which was lost in the past, gives us a new current, present future to look to, and then when we consider that future, how I'm living my life right now, what kind of bulbs, what kind of seeds am I planting? They will come up. And in the last 12 months, what has Jack been sowing? It will come back to me by way of harvest. Every one of us, the stupid things I did, the crazy things I did, I will reap of those things. And so will you in our lives. It's the way that it is. The Bible says in the book of Romans, if we sow to the flesh, we will what? Reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So I look at this, I get convicted, but I also get encouraged. The future for us, we've been so busy together, haven't we? We've been so busy, we've been working together, both here and at the new church, and that's encouraging. We've been sharing Jesus on the streets with people. That's encouraging. Those things will come back in blessings. So how are you sowing? What are you sowing? Because in the near future, that's what we're going to reap as a church, as a people, as a family, as a Christian. I'll end with this. The foundation to our sowing is very important. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, he said, those who hear the words that I say and apply them to their lives, I will consider that man to be a wise man. Who, when he built a house, he built his house upon a rock. And when the storms of life came and the wind and the rain and the floods beat upon the house stood strong because it was founded upon a rock. But he who heard my words and did not apply them to my lives, I will liken unto that man to be a fool. He built a house. At least he built a house, right? You might say, hey, what's the difference? He's got a house and he's got a house. Okay. That's true. On the surface, before the storm hits, looks fine. But people, have you caught on that life has its storms? Is that what those are? Life's going to come, and it's going to beat upon the foundation of your home. The first thing to go is the building. The building goes. A foolish man, a wise man, houses look the same. And then the earth begins to shake, or the floods begin to come. And when that all cute framed brick little house is blown away by the debris, when it's all over, what do you have to rebuild on? You have a foundation. It's either a rock or sand, Jesus says. And Jesus says a lot of people live like that in their spiritual lives. They look great on the outside. They're all trimmed and proper, and they look just like a house. They look great. But then the storms come, and they bail out on Jesus. They run away from the Bible. They put their fist up and curse God. No foundation. Foundation only comes from the Word of God, the Bible being in your life. And not just reading it because you have to. Reading it because you get to. Every moment you read and every moment you invest in the things of God, it strengthens your foundation. Mom, it strengthens your foundation with your kids. Husband, it strengthens your foundation with your wife. Parents, with your kids. And there is the joy and the assurance that we have as believers that our future is bright. The Bible says in Jude chapter 1, verse 24, that God is able to preserve us and to keep us and to present us before the Father in heaven. He's faithful to do that. That's good news. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts to give you life, to give you a future, to give you hope, and to bring your life to a full and to complete end. That's what God wants to do. And that's encouraging. I'm blessed by that. Then no wonder it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 46. We've read it during this entire series. That they continued with one accord in the temple and in the breaking of bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness, and here it comes, with gladness and simplicity of heart that's exceeding joy. They didn't walk around like this. I'm a bad Christian. Oh, I'm terrible. Oh, man. They didn't do that. They had great joy. They were praising God. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. 3,000 in one day. How does 3,000 people get saved in one day? By a bunch of Christians like this sitting around? Oh, you're going to be a Christian, huh? Oh, go for it. We haven't been listening to the Lord. You say, well, I think God's watching me. He is watching you. That's what I'm afraid of. He loves you so much he can't keep his eyes off you. What's your problem? That's a good thing. Are you a Christian? Yes. Are you sure? Yes. Then you know what? Get up from this place. Live your life in the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. Rejoice in Him. And watch Him live His witness out in your life. He'll do it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Why Should I Be a Witness? In fact, it's a series within a series and part of Pastor Jack's collection of topical studies called Why Should I? We'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Well, it is Monday, and you know what that means. You can catch our television program tonight called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time, Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs on his channel. That's hischannel.com. Now, Real Life with Jack Hibbs is a fascinating show because oftentimes you'll get to see Pastor Jack sit down with some guests that really are specialists in their respective fields, and they talk about real life, hard-hitting topics that affect all of us as believers, everything from issues on a personal level to those on the international stage. You'll hear and see Pastor Jack talk about everything from Bible prophecy, both past and future, to being salt and light on all levels in an unbelieving world. In fact, you'll probably recognize a lot of Pastor Jack's well-known guests. Also, at times, you'll see Pastor Jack sit down one-on-one and teach us about scriptural topics. And tonight, it's another Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time on his channel, hischannel.com. In fact, for your point-and-click convenience, we have a link to his channel from our own realradioactive.org. And our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.